is Wednesday, my dudes.
Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Pull List. My name is Lex, and I'm here with my co-host, Simon. Simon, what's up?
What's up, dude? How are you?
I am doing all right. We're doing this on Sunday, which is weird, but here we are.
Sunday fun day, you know? You get wild.
There's nothing fun about Sundays.
No.
The Monday's Eve.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What's been going on with you, man? Partying? Halloween parties all weekend, living La Vida Loca.
I went to one yesterday. It was like a sexy Lord of the Rings party. It was pretty funny.
who were you?
Well, I hate dressing up for Halloween, but I did try to come up with a funny costume at the last minute. So I made like the Witch King's helmet out of cardboard, and then I just dressed in like slacks and like white shirt unbuttoned to about right here.
I like it.
It was everybody was really impressed with that helmet. They didn't really care about what I was wearing, but they were like, "Damn, I did that in like an hour."
I don't know when the last time I went to a Halloween party, man. And I'm like you, I don't really like dressing up. Every year when we were in college, I would just go to Goodwill on the day of Halloween and then sort of make a makeshift costume.
Mm-hmm.
Like one year I bought a trench coat and I was just a flasher for Halloween. And that was it. And I wore tiny shorts underneath and I just walked around. Not flashing anybody, but it was all part of the costume.
Hey, so, man, anything goes on Halloween. You could have flashed. It'd have been fine.
Yeah, right. That's what it's all about. That's what Halloween's about.
It's about being someone else for one day.
Actually, I was being myself. I am a flasher.
The hash slinging slasher. Yeah.
I don't know what that's from.
The hash slinging slasher. It's from SpongeBob. Anyway. That's hard to say.
Oh, man. It's good to have a normal episode. I feel like we've been hodgepodging these past few episodes. I don't know what goes with what. Because last week's episode was a previous recording of a trade review combined with like a Sunday chat. And anytime we do a separate one, we ended up talking for like 2 hours. So we had a 2 hour episode, and then somehow I had to tack on another hour. So it's always fun whenever we throw things out of whack.
Yeah. Yep.
We're back though this week.
We're back.
Regular schedule though. 2 hour long episode.
Yeah, we're back on a Sunday because we were both busy on the weekend.
Cool. Yeah, man, it happens. Y'all know how it is. Unless you don't have any life or friends or family, then you don't know how it is.
All you independently wealthy folks out there.
Yeah. Stop listening to this podcast because you make too much money.
Yeah.
Go hang out on your yacht or your country club. I'm just kidding. You can listen to it. Let's get into some trending topics, man, before we eat the rich.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff was happening. I don't know when the last time we actually did trending topics. So I figured I'd just do some things that I feel like I haven't talked to you about. Mm-hmm. And we can rapid fire through a lot of these. I can tell you when this happened. We got the Ant-Man 3 trailer. At some point between the last time we did trending topics and now.
Yeah, I feel like this was last week. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Hell yeah. It worked
out. Last week was kind of a blur.
Yeah, it really was. What'd you think about the Ant-Man 3 trailer, man?
I really like the Ant-Man movies. I don't think that they get near enough love.
Damn, I think it's weird. People really don't like them. I think they're all pretty good. Or both of them are pretty good.
Yeah, I really enjoyed them. So I'm excited about seeing this one. It's interesting to see how, one, we're going to see a villain that's going to be like the villain, which is, you know, usually they kill off whatever the problem is, they take care of it in that movie. So I'm curious how that's going to pan out.
One thing that's cool about Kang is that they can continuously kill that guy.
Mm-hmm.
They can kill him in every movie. And then he can always come back as a, either a different version of Kang through time or a different variant. I don't know if that's cool, but it solves that whole, the MCU killing off good villains.
Yeah, and I like that they, you know, I like his costume. It's kind of cool that they stayed relatively accurate. I don't really like the weird, when he's got his helmet on, his face is too big in the helmet, but
I don't like it either. And hopefully it looks better, like, close up. Like, maybe it was just, like, a weird angle and just so far away. I agree. I think it looks weird. Yeah. I don't know how you do blue face without it looking silly. Because Kang's, well, Kang looks relatively silly.
Hopefully he doesn't get canceled by any Smurfs, you know, doing blue face.
Or those three guys that do that, the Blue Man Group or whatever they're called.
That's what they're called. You got them.
They're all watching this trailer like, son of a bitch. He's just going to start playing those drums and pants. Oh, that'd be pretty funny. I'm excited about this movie, man. I thought it was weird that they recast his daughter, but I like that chick that's playing her. So,
yeah, that was weird, especially because, like, I don't know. Maybe the other girl's like, no thanks, Disney. I don't want your money.
She's in her artist phase. She's like, no, this film didn't speak to me, so I'm going to have to pass on your bajillion dollar. chick. I mean, good for Jonathan Majors, though. He's like, oh, you mean I can potentially show up in every movie until the end of time? Yeah. Sign me up for that.
I did, and I like him a lot. He's really great. He's one of my
favorite actors right now.
And I know his brother, apparently, so that's cool.
Yeah, we need to get him on the show. We'd be like, hey, man, I don't care. We need to get you on every episode of the show until we're friends enough that you can get us tickets to one of those big movies that he's going to be in.
It reminds me of those stories of, like, kids that said, you know, stereotypical, like, well, I have an uncle that works at Nintendo, and he said that they're working on this new... Well, you should ask him today. I'll talk to him.
Yeah, I'll talk to him.
Yeah.
They're like estranged. They never talk to each other. Or he hates him in real life. And he just never wants to talk to him again.
Yeah, he's not on his Wikipedia, so.
Oh, scorned. We got to get the scoop. He's like, oh, Jonathan Majors, you're talking about that famous plumber. Like, not the actor.
That Jonathan Majors. Yeah, whoops.
Oh, man. Sacha Baron Cohen is apparently, and I don't want to get into too much of this again, but apparently he's cast as Mephisto, and he's going to make his debut in Ironheart Episode 5. I don't even know when Ironheart is coming out, so this could be some random news that drops. This show is coming out eventually. I know they're already filming it because they showed those set photos of the hood. But apparently...
What are you talking about, the character, or are you talking about the neighborhood
where they live?
Oh.
and the character. So I don't know, man. He would be a good pick for him. I think he's funny and weird, but
yeah, I kind of would rather him come out and say it rather than do what they did, where everybody's, even though nobody said that he was going to be in WandaVision. It would be interesting if they're like, yeah, he's coming, he's here, he's gonna be on episode 5. I don't know again what that has to do with Ironheart.
I don't know how factual this is, so we'll see. At this point in the MCU, it's just like, whatever, man.
Yeah, he's just throwing shit against the wall now. What's the deal?
Whatever works.
I'm curious about Ironheart because I figured Hersha would come out before she was introduced in Wakanda Forever.
I'm interested to see what happens. You know, maybe they're doing it in lieu of like an Iron Man 1, 2, and 3. They're doing her introduction in to the MCU in Wakanda Forever, sort of the, you know, makeshift armor Iron Man 1.
Yeah,
she gets better supplies from those folks. I was gonna say from those people.
What do you mean?
It's better supplies from them, and then she goes back home. And sort of ties into like Armor Wars. You know, what they've been saying about this show is that it's going to be like science versus magic.
Mm.
And we'll see. That's where like the hood comes in. And apparently Mephisto.
The hood.
We'll see. I don't like her suit that she gets at the end of Wakanda Forever or in between or after. See, I don't know, because they showed that big ass bulky suit.
Right? I don't know. The action figure kind of has me sold on it. It's pretty clean.
I like that one. But they had her proto suit, which I really like. And then they had like this Wakandan armor suit, which I don't like.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that. I remember seeing that now.
And then in the trailer, we just get this new one, which I kind of like it. It reminds me sort of like Zone of Enders.
Yes.
Zone of Ender.
Very Bubblegum Crisis, like with the big legs and stuff.
They did do some set wrap gifts, like or when they're done filming the show, I guess. And they had like hats and bags and socks and stuff. And it had her Ironheart helmet on it from the comic books, like what she has now, which is more of a streamlined, sort of close to Iron Man.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if she continues, just like Tony did, to continue to get different armors as you see her. So, one show that was announced that I didn't expect, I mean, I guess we were wondering what was going on with this character, but it was announced that they're developing a show with Vision called Vision Quest, and it's going to focus on Paul Bettany's journey on trying to regain his memories after what happened in WandaVision.
I saw that the report that they were making Vision Quest, and that maybe it said maybe Elizabeth Olsen would be in it. And I'm like, she should be in this show. Why would she not be in this show?
I would imagine she'd have to be in this show, right?
Yeah.
It's like 87% of his memories have something to do with her.
Right. Yeah. I thought that was kind of odd. But then again, you know, it was like he didn't exist after her show. So I don't know what's up with that. I feel like that was a major misstep to have a character that really was never fleshed out to begin with. And this is the most characterization that he's had since in Age of Ultron, I guess.
Yes, he was created.
No, which one was it? Civil War. That's what I'm thinking about, where he was a little more like wearing like the sweater vest and shit.
Yeah, more human.
Yeah. But he really, I'm kind of sucks for Paul, but I mean, he's still getting checks, but you know, it's kind of weird for him to have been in all these movies and not really having any character until WandaVision. And then, you know, that's after he's technically dead.
Yeah. He's serving as like this sacrificial character. Like, yeah, we like Vision. He's cool, whatever. He's in love with Wanda. We're going to kill him. We killed him in Infinity War twice. We killed him. We're going to kill him in WandaVision. He'll probably die at the end of Vision Quest. Like, it's just, what his character is. He's like the Kenny of the MCU.
Well, I guess if you're going to do it with the android or robot or whatever he is.
Yeah, he's human, man, on the inside. He's like Pinocchio. He's a real boy. He's a real boy.
Yeah, a real boy.
Lots of stuff have been coming out about Superman. Everybody's excited now. The Black Adam hype is wore down, and now everybody realizes that most people were really just excited about Superman.
For real.
And so they announced that he's going to have his new movie. They're going forward. He's going to be the Superman of the DCU, DC, whatever they're calling it. And after that, he announced that he's not going to be on The Witcher anymore. He's like, I like doing all these like nerdy things, but now that I've secured a hefty bag, I'm not doing Netflix anymore.
Yeah.
I'm out. And Liam Hemsworth, the younger, Thor's little brother, will be replacing him in season 4 of The Witcher. Did you watch The Witcher?
I watched one season. I was not a fan.
Yeah, I was wondering, because you like the game a lot, right?
And I think that's why I'm not a fan, because it's like, and it's just like reading a book, you know, you read a book and then you see a movie and you're like, ugh, that's not what I imagined for any of this. Yeah. And it's kind of like the games were so well done that these, and it seems blasphemous that I'm saying it, so like the games had some to do with the books.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're kind of their own thing. And then this Netflix series is more based on the books. And I don't know. I just didn't dig it very much. And I thought some of the costume design was stupid. And I really didn't. I don't know. I just wasn't a huge fan.
I did like this magical Superman.
I thought it was cool how the story kind of met in the middle, though, with Yennefer and him, like how she's like telling this story through eons and decades, and then all of a sudden, you know.
Yeah. I didn't watch any of it. I tried, but I fell asleep every time I turned it on. So this one isn't for me. So I never went back to watch it.
And I wasn't sold on Henry Cavill in that part. So maybe that's it. Like, I like him as Superman, as a stoic Superman. He's pretty good, but I haven't seen a lot that I'm just like, oh man, Henry Cavill is like a great actor, you know?
Yeah. I haven't seen him in enough. I like him in the things that I've seen him in, like that Enola Holmes movie. He was good in that as gigantic Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, just the biggest Sherlock Holmes.
He was good in that, but that's really all I've ever seen him in. He was in that A Man from U.N.C.L.E. with the dude that beats people.
Yeah, with Army of the Dead. Yeah, I saw that. I liked that. And I never did see it, but I wanted to see the Mission Impossible that he was in. Mm. The reason he had the mustache.
Same, where he grew that beard instantly on the trailers. It's like he was clean shaven, and then he's like getting ready to fight, and then in the next, just magically, his mustache shows up on his face.
Yeah, he had that big old mustache.
Yeah. Good times. I mean, poor guy, man. He really has been trying to make this Superman thing happen for the past couple of years, to where he wasn't really doing these movies. And I think his agents, from what I heard, the reason why he left is because his agent is like, oh, well, now he's in the limelight. Now he's a big star. He's going to be the forefront of, you know, this new direction that DC's going as. So we don't want him to do series anymore. We want to put him on movies.
Mm.
And I feel like he just was like, well, I'm just going to do more nerdy stuff because I like nerdy stuff. Maybe they'll call me to be Superman again. The Rock keeps promising me. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
He just keeps calling.
Yeah, he's been making that movie since 2002. So I don't know if that's ever going to happen.
He calls me every day and says, hey, you know, I know the hierarchy of power is about to change. But
don't get another job yet, man. Hold out for me. And The Rock's like paying his bills every month.
Yeah. You need a computer, let me know.
That's freaking great. We got the first trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special. And a lot of people loved it. They were like, oh my gosh, this looks amazing. This is going to be great. And I was like, this looks dumb. I know it's supposed to be. And it's sort of in that wacky Guardians realm. But man, I was like, I might not even watch this.
Really?
It just looked silly to me.
Yeah, it is certainly silly. Like, it is of the, but that's kind of the charm for Guardians of the Galaxy for me, is like how goofy it is. You know, it never really felt, well, the first one didn't feel like part of the MCU the way everything else did.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I really enjoyed that one. The second one I didn't like as much because it was too much.
There were a lot of things that worked in the first movie. They doubled down on with the humor and stuff. And I'll always remember it. I was in the theater. I was so excited because I loved the first one so much. And then they do the thing where, I can't remember her name, the Golden Lady shows up on that planet and they're rolling out the carpet and then it stops and they're like, tink, tink, tink. And it goes on for a solid 2 minutes. And I'm like, what is this? What are we watching, man? Stupid. I like stupid jokes, but it was too much. And I feel like this is going to be more of the same thing. They're chasing Kevin Bacon down. Santa Claus is probably going to be in it.
That'd be kind of cool, though. You can't tell me it wouldn't be kind of cool, especially if they go in the direction that you're talking about.
Yeah. Mark Hamill's supposed to be in this, so I would imagine that he would be Santa Claus. I'll call him. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Good for him. He gets the most obscure checks just because he's Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, he was in, I can't remember what movie he, what was that? Where he was being protected by somebody. What movie was that? But Mark Hamill was just like, he was just this like scientist or something in this movie for like 10 minutes, I think.
He just gets these random checks because of who he is, which is cool, man. I'm not mad at it. My main gripe was Groot looks like an amusement park Groot. like the Groot that would be at Disney. Like, you could tell they didn't, obviously they're not going to put a buttload of CGI in it, but it just, to me, it was weird looking.
You're talking about like his shoulders looked really big or something.
He just looked, like, I know they're using real effects for him in this, and he just looked like exactly like the Groot at Disney World. Until he was made out of like foam.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, I'm sure it's going to be fine. And maybe, you know, it would be great if it was actually a dude dressed up as Groot and it wasn't really Groot. Now that would win me over. I don't know. Speaking of winning me over, James Gunn, big news for the man that he dropped this trailer. It was pretty cool. Everybody was excited about that. And then an hour later, he was like, oh, yeah, I'm signing this exclusive deal with DC to sort of co-lead the new direction of Warner Bros. And everyone's like, what?
Yeah. That was insane.
It was insane. So Guardians is, I think, his last MCU project, I think. Because whenever they asked Kevin Feige about it, he was like, I'm excited to see what he's going to do. I mean, he's got a few things to wrap up before May, but I'll be the first person in the line to see what he does.
Yeah, I'm curious, and I'm glad, you know, because that was such a big deal, or Peacemaker was such a big deal. Like, I really enjoyed that, and I feel like that right there is the way the DCU needs to be. So
yeah, we've talked about it before, and like how it can. Peacemaker did a really good job of being silly, but also telling a relatively serious, and I mean like comic book serious story. And they acknowledge all these random beings and creatures and characters in the DC universe. And I just think there needs to be more of that.
Yes. I'm very curious. Of course, obviously, he's not going to be directing every show. So it's not, or writing everything. Yeah, so
they just have him locked up at the basement of the Warner Brothers Studios. And he's just writing his ass up every single project.
It's really crazy, you know, his career. Just going from things like Slither and Super, and now he's like the guy at DC.
Yeah, and you remember a few years ago, they tried to cancel him because he was saying all that weird stuff on Twitter back in the day.
Yeah, man, Twitter. Be careful, Lex. If you ever get famous.
It ain't happening, man. I won't say that weird of stuff. I try not to.
I'd get canceled
tomorrow. For you. Tomorrow you're gonna pull up, someone's gonna pull up some random things I said back in 2017. I'm excited about this, though. Like, we talked about it numerous times. I think that's the direction to go.
Yeah,
I'm interested to see what kind of projects he has in mind, you know, or like what the direction looks like, because I feel like that's a thing that has lacked in the past 7-8 years or what, however long the DCEU has been going on. Yeah, it's like no one knows what's going on. It's like, oh yeah, we're gonna do this. We did DC Fandom. We have 23 movies planned out, and then we canceled all of them. And it's just like, and they don't really know. So I'm not saying they should copy the MCU and have like this phased out plan, but some sort of like, yeah, this is what we're thinking.
Right.
That's all we got for trending topics, guys. We're gonna take a second, and we'll be right back with the trade review.
Okay, everybody, it's Michael E. Cullen II.
And I'm Sesame Incarta from the All Too Real 2 podcast. We're passionate about movies, TV, and pretty much all things pop culture.
Dive into the chaos of failed sitcoms, direct-to-video sequels, and the quirky realms of cinema and TV.
Join us every Thursday for your dose of All Too Real 2 entertainment.
We'll guide you through debates like whether Howard the Duck qualifies as a superhero.
Ponder if Larry the Cable Guy could be the new Rock or Schwarzenegger.
Discover if some shows and movies should have stayed in the cutting room.
Ever heard of a sitcom featuring that dictator with the funny mustache? Well, we watched it.
We're dedicated to unraveling the peculiarities of pop culture, sometimes with awesome guests.
So, if you're into the eccentric world of pop culture,
listen and subscribe to All Too Real 2.
Available wherever you find podcasts
and on Age of Radio.
This is the section of the podcast where we review a trade, and it's been a while since I've been able to say this, but some people call it a trade review. I'm excited about this book because I wanted to trim it down. I was like, okay, we're going to record on Sunday. there's a shorter version of it. We could read that. But then when I got to the end of the shorter version, I was like, I'm going to read the next one. And then I think because we share the app, that's not for legal purposes. We don't share the app. We share a brain. And I knew that Simon had read issue 4, mainly because I could see that it was already done. So I was like, well, Simon read it. I'm just going to keep going. And then I finished the entire trade. So I'm interested to see what Simon thought about it. We read Dark Knights of Steel, Volume 1. As I mentioned, they have a shorter version, which is like, what kind of cash grab is that? We're like, hey, we're going to release 3 issues, and then we're going to do like a mini collected edition. Usually they do like full-on stories, but this one they're like, hey, people are loving this so much, we're going to release a mini trade, and people are going to buy it. People are going to eat it up.
Man. Yeah.
Cash grab. This book is essentially Game of Thrones meets the DC universe. That's what I was thinking the entire time. I was like, oh man, what a twist. What a twist. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, definitely. I can see that.
Let's just jump right in. Dark Knights of Steel, issue 1. An entire medieval world will forever be changed when a spaceship crash lands from a doomed planet. Monarchs will die, kingdoms will rise, and what seemed the end of the world for many was only the beginning. An epic high fantasy story set in the DC universe where nothing is what it seems. From worldwide best-selling... Every time I see the word worldwide, I think of Pibble. For worldwide best-selling writer Tom Taylor, we like Tom Taylor here. There's a reason why we reviewed most of his books.
Yeah, Tom the Tool Man Taylor.
He wrote this DC Superman, Son of Kal-El. I mean, he's good. And acclaimed artist Yasmin Poutry. You guys know I can't read. Comes a generational tale of good and evil within a brand new DCU.
Mm-hmm.
Straight off the bat, Simon, what'd you think, man?
Well, you know that I mean, we both really enjoy like Elseworlds tales, so I was curious where this was going to go. And right off the bat, seeing that it's not the standard story
of
Superman crash landing on the planet, it's just Superman. It wasn't just like, this is how it goes, but it's medieval times. Like,
yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like halfway through, I was like, man, this is one of the main reasons I'm enjoying this is because it's not like the DC universe in, like you said, in medieval times. It's a new tale with these characters. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, that was super cool. And it's interesting. It just gets going. And I love, that some of these characters, like the Robins thing has been a recurring theme. Batman has these like his little birds, Game of Thrones. So he has the Robins, but I love, that one, Dick Grayson is still part of that, which is cool. But it is kind of funny that, I don't know, it's funny that this Robin's theme keeps coming up in all these books that we're reading with Batman.
Yeah.
Like it's got this chord of... Anyway.
I'm glad that they used Duke, man. Duke doesn't get a lot of representation when it comes to Batman sidekicks. I'm glad they put him on there. And I'm glad they're all kids. Usually you have like older Nightwing and you have young Damian. We didn't see Damian for obvious reason. But we get to see all these characters and they're all his little birds.
Yeah.
I like that though. I like that he has that. What do you think about the character designs before I ask you what your favorite things are about this issue?
I really like it. It's cool. With the armor that Batman wears, he's like a knight. It's interesting. It is kind of funny that they call him the Batman. I mean, it's like, why? Yeah. Just what he is. But I love like the design of the L's, all those are really cool because they include the colors and everything of their main costumes without
kind of got a cape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without just making it that costume. I do think it's funny that like Harlequin is just that's just her because it makes sense. She doesn't have to change.
Yeah, and now she's more of a hero in modern day comic books. She fits a better role in this rather than like the crazy Tara Strong character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Though at the same time, with that being said, I know that we've often talked about how, you know, sure, that's fine that she's a hero, but I feel like that happens a lot with villains in books. They like, oh, mm-hmm. she's really popular, we should probably make her a hero. It's like, yeah, oh, well.
It's like The Rock. Like, if you know Black Adam, he is a terrible person.
Yeah,
he's a bad guy. But now that The Rock wants to play him, he's an anti-hero.
Yeah,
heart of gold. It's like, he's not. He murders people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like the character designs as well, man. It is kind of weird with the, like, the Batman thing. They call him Batman, but his armor looks cool.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my favorite things in here are just noteworthy things. Light spoilers, in case you haven't read this yet. Essentially, Batman is guarded. He's the hand, if you will, if you watch Game of Thrones. He's like the guard of the royal family. And so he's hunting down any magic people because magic is their weakness. And I thought it was cool that they put Black Canary in there. They don't need to do these like deep expositions of like characters and everyone's a hero. It just happens to be a character there. We don't know if she was really sent by the other king or anything like that. She just had powers. It's not even necessarily magic.
Yeah, right.
Instantly, yeah. when he gets up, I thought he was going to be hurt, but it was like, I thought it was sort of like a vibranium armor type situation, like whatever his bat armor was protecting him.
That he was going to be the smart guy Batman
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like he just had a contingency plan. That's why he didn't die when she fucking zapped his ass.
Well, to me, and they disprove this later, but the fact that Kal-El is there, I assume that he like pulled him or guarded him in some way.
Yeah.
Because he comes back in and also thought he broke her neck for a second. But anyway, he comes back in and like closes her mouth. But we find out later that that's not the case. Why he's not liquefied.
Some things that I liked about this issue. I love the character designs. I thought the pacing was insane. Because it's fast. Usually when you have a fast story like this, it's like, oh, this was way too fast. They rushed it. The pacing was great, but it was fast because a lot happens. I mean, the main climax of the story, not a main climax of the story, but something pretty significant happens at the end. You get the big reveal in the first issue that their parents kind of suck. Not really. Yeah. They're all nice people, but they just like touch each other's privates.
Yeah, they're still human. When I find the one thing that's kind of passed over about how good these people are is that they totally fried these other knights when they first came out. So, I mean, like they did do stuff. It's not like
I think it was like accidental though. They didn't, have heat vision before.
Yeah. I mean, I know he didn't mean to, but it's still kind of funny.
Yeah. Green Arrow, man, that dude cannot keep an arm, and that's not even in this issue, but that guy can't keep an arm to save his life.
Yeah.
We get, like I said, spoilers. We get the reveal that Batman is Kal-El's half-brother. Which
yeah.
I thought was pretty interesting. But like you said, it's not the textbook DC story. This is a whole new thing.
Yeah, I loved that. I thought that was one of the coolest things, is that Batman actually gets to... He's not just a smart guy. Like, he's protective because he's half-Kryptonian.
Yeah, they call him the Bastard Prince. They all knew that it wasn't Thomas's kid, which was kind of muddy. But I get it. Like, they didn't want to be like, well, how is he still fucking alive? Or well, why is he still there? Why are they still calling the prince? Whatever. We get it. We get it resolved pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And then in the woods, Green Arrow is just hanging out with what I assume is Green Lantern. So that was interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm sitting here wondering with Green Arrow, I got stuck in the mud of like, wait, how did he know he was going to be there so that he could shoot him? And how can he see that far? Like in my mind, is there some kind of like intrinsic power that he has as this character that, you know, he just doesn't even have to think. He just shoots and it gets to its mark.
That's kind of cool. And why not in this universe with all these other people have random powers?
Yeah, he's just got this weird, I don't know. I just saw it as like it's intrinsic. Like he doesn't even have to think about it. He just does it. But anyway,
Superman's kind of a spoiled brat. He's kind of annoying. He's not like our main universe Superman.
Yeah, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, and they do it. It's subtle. He's still like nice to Bruce. Like they still have a buddy buddy thing. He protects him and all this stuff. But there is that hint of like he's the spoiled brat, which I appreciate. Art's good, and that's essentially the first issue. It's very fast.
I like that review. Art's good.
Well, we talk more about the art at the end.
Yeah. But yeah,
it's... blow my art load all in the first ooh, issue.
Hey. Yeah, it's very... I really like it so far. Cool.
All right, take it away with the super in-depth synopsis of issue number 2.
Oof, I don't know if I'll see if I can get this all in one breath. Dark Knights of Steel Issue 2. The epic high fantasy DC Universe adventure continues as a shocking assassination has the kingdoms on the brink of world war. I guess if that's the unknown world, I guess that is world war.
Man, it's great. Alfred's cool in this.
Yeah.
What are your favorite things about issue number 2? I'm just basically rereading it right now.
Well, yeah, with issue 2, I think it's interesting with Bruce how quickly let me start over. So Bruce, you know, he knows that he has some kind of powers, right? He's resilience, whatever. But I think it's funny how quickly he adapted to that. Like he found out and he was like, I wasn't liquefied when she screamed at me. He's shooting lasers out of his eyes and now he's like moving faster than a speeding arrow. You know, it's just kind of funny how quickly that happened.
I think it's just cutting loose now. You know, he mentions it later where he's like, this it, you know, the Black Canary thing wasn't the first time I should have been killed. Like it's happened numerous times and I thought I was cursed. That's what the conversation with him and his dad come up. You know, that's where he starts that conversation with his dad. And he's like, you're not cursed. It's my fault. I should tell you what's really going on. I hooked up with your mom.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned in the first issue, Green Arrow can't keep an arm, man. Every time they go for that damn arm, which is smart because you can't shoot arrows if you don't have an arm.
I don't know. He did a pretty good job of Dark Knight Returns. But yes, yeah, it is always kind of funny. Yeah, man. I don't know. I really like that part of it. It's just this book's really cool. I really enjoyed it.
I'm not a huge fan of Constantine, but he's in it. He's fine. I like his suit, how it looks like a trench coat and tie. Yeah. But it's not. It's like just a coat with a, I don't know, scarf.
Yeah, it is kind of funny. And it's funny that he always has like an untied tie or whatever. It's like, dude, why even bother? You don't have to put it on.
Yeah, just in case. I like how we're just talking about a few things that we like in the issue. I like that the neighboring king is Black Lightning and his family. And then they all get different. And I can't remember. I thought his family just all had lightning powers. I like this though, how they all get different forms of storm powers. I thought that was really, really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I dig it. Yeah, it was really cool to bring him to the forefront as well.
Yeah.
That character doesn't get enough love, so.
No. Black Lightning. Have you ever had Black Lightning before? Ooh, hey. This is so the king is dead. Everybody's leaning on Bruce because he's the one that protects the family. He's, you know, he's the guy that's in the streets. And so Harley Quinn is like, hey, they're trying to figure out what happened and what they should do. Something that stuck out to me is Harley Quinn's like, yo, where's, you know, Batman? Where's Bruce or whatever? And then Superman's like, it's not, he can't talk. He's not part of our family. Like really super real dickhead moment. And that's the first time I'm like, this Superman's kind of an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah. That really bothered me. And there's a part later that's like in one of the books that I don't know. Are we reading all of it? Anyway, yeah, there's a part later you find out like how the lineage was supposed to break down. And basically they're kind of fucking Bruce over.
Should have been the king.
Yeah. By decree, you know, and they're being dickheads about it. But I think it's cool that we go and see the Amazonians. But
they always look so badass. Maybe it's just because I like strong ladies, man. But yes. I think they always look bad. Wonder Woman looks so good in this, dude.
Yeah, she does look really good. But it is kind of funny. Like, it's not that different.
Yeah. Yeah. But it doesn't look... They did a decent job of making it... Like, her suit looks like a superhero costume. I guess because she's had it for so long in, like, the main DC universe. They did a decent job of, like, varying it enough to where it doesn't look like a a giant W on her chest.
Right. Yeah. Kind of more of practical armor.
Yeah. Lois Lane is also an Amazon in this universe. Good for her.
Yeah. Yeah. And believe it or not, Diana Prince is a lesbian. You can believe that. Yeah. Amazonians.
Yes. This is a new character. Supergirl. They have a daughter. Now, we do have a Supergirl, Superwoman in the regular DC universe, but it's Kara Zor-El, Superman's cousin. Mm-hmm. This is Zala Jor-El. So it's a new character, their daughter. She basically looks exactly like Supergirl. Yeah. She has blonde hair, which I wonder if that's going to play into it, because neither one of her parents, no, her mom has blonde hair, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I already know how, I know how this is going to end. I'm not really sure, but I have a feeling. It's Clayface. It's always Clayface. I like when they're walking through the dungeon, and it's kind of sad. So they're locking up all these magical creatures just because, but it is kind of cool to see some familiar faces in there.
Some of them aren't even magical. Like, I know Detective Chimp has, he's part of like the Justice League Dark, and he messes with the occult, but that's like the Flash.
Yeah.
King Shark, those guys aren't magic. They're just like meta. They just have, you can't explain their powers, which I like that.
Yeah.
And Bruce is just like, lock them up. I also like, we didn't talk about, I like that Amanda Waller is part of the like King Court or whatever. I thought that was cool.
It is cool, but it's kind of weird because she seemingly has a big part in it, but we only see her a few times.
Yeah, she says like one fucked up thing, and that's it. Like, they're like, if we're going to have Amanda Waller here, she's got to plan something fucked up. And so she's like, I'll sneak this in there and go back into the shadow.
Yeah.
We get more Clark being a dickhead.
Yes, but like, yes and no. It's kind of interesting he's very dichotomous in the way he talks. Like, he'll be like, he says I could kill you with a glance, and then one at the bottom of the page is like, we're good people, we're not who you think we are.
Yeah. And I don't want to go panel by panel. Those are just a few things that I liked. Something that I don't know if I don't like evil Superman. Like, that's my thing. I think it's lame to make Superman or those people evil, because I mean, I liked Injustice, but I'm just not sold on evil Superman. I don't think that's in his character.
You're right.
And this, Supergirl lovingly leaves the embrace of her lover, Wonder Woman, and she goes home to visit her to be with her family when her dad is buried or whatever they do. But she makes a couple pit stops, which is totally, we don't know anything about this character. So maybe she is like a monster, but it seems out of character. Murders a kid.
Right. She was just like, which is the scariest? That would be the scariest death, is just to be flown out up and dropped.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but, man.
Like I said, I don't think that's her. There's too much like weird opposite acting or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Characterizations. Like, she's like, Black Lightning lets it all out. Puts all the Black Lightning in her life, and she just says it tickles. That's it. And she bounces. But with that, you know, it's not like she's not part of a royal family. You know, it's not like she's new here. She knows that if she kills a neighboring kingdom's kid, off of the assumption, and yes, we know that he did, you know, the plan in motion to kill Jor-El, but you're starting a war. In that instance, because you just straight up, like, you didn't do it any sneaky way, you busted out the wall and then you dropped the kid from the sky. You're starting,
yeah, like
war.
you were making your presence known, like,
yeah,
you said,
for sure. So that's the issue. Was there anything that you didn't like in this issue?
Well, like you said, I mean, there's a lot of weird storytelling in this, is that as the viewer, you're seeing her bust in, do all that, but later she's like, no. So it's kind of weird. Like,
it was really weird.
What is happening?
Is she acting?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's cool. I mean, that's a way of telling the story. I just think it's kind of funny. Like, it would be more interesting if they had held on to that, made it just a shadow or something, a silhouette.
Or just like the cape, because they wear the same thing. Like, we don't know if it's Soup, we don't know if it's Cal, or we don't know if it's her.
If they had, yeah, if they had said like, oh, and then she's accused, like the killer was, like they keep that in part that's in the later issue in the exact same way that it's written, but this part isn't so like direct.
A reveal. Yeah. That would be cool. But you know, you just mentioned like the dichotomy of how she acts in one scene and how she, because this isn't the only time that she does this crazy act of aggression, but then she just seems like this totally docile sweetheart chick, right? But it also, you'd mentioned Superman sort of has the same thing. Like, he's like, oh, I'll blast your head off. And then two panels later, he's like, we are people of the people. Like, we don't do that. I was like, you just said you were going to do it.
Yeah, and the same with the way he acts with Batman, saying that he doesn't need to be in the room when earlier, like, they're friendly, you know?
Yeah. I can't wait to talk about that big reveal after that. Let's talk about issue number three real quick. Dark Knights of Steel, issue number three. War is on the horizon as a series of assassinations has rocked the land. The Kingdom of Storms, great name, is gathering its allies with eyes on the destruction of Kal-El and his family. What secret does the Dark Knight learn that could be key, could be the key to everything? I still think the pacing's great. A few things that I like about it. I think the pacing is great. I don't know. I'm still into it, man. For all the same reasons.
I like how they implement these like side characters. Like, it's just funny that we have to have a Jimmy Olsen. Yeah. So they make him like a stargazer, like this, weird astronomer or something.
We get the metal man. That was cool.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah. Because like, I forgot about the metal men. Like, I completely forgot about those characters. So it was cool.
And you talked about in the last issue how it's so weird that she's one place or she's acting a certain way and then acting a different way. I thought it was weird how she's here with the metal men and then she's instantly back home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know she can fly super fast and all this stuff, but I just thought it was weird that she completes this massacre and then she's at home being normal again.
Yeah. This whole thing is, she's wearing a green hood, you know. Hey.
Ooh.
We know. But you're right. It is way out of character for what we've seen. I mean, other than that murder. But then again, this could be somebody telling the story. So I think it's funny that they even show most of this. Like, they could have just shown like there was a massacre here and then a red cape or something. You know,
or you could have left the hood up and just like even that scene where she takes off the hood, you could have left the hood up because you can't really tell that that's a lady's body underneath it.
Yeah,
I'm with you, but you know, and it seems like she has a motive at this point, which is even weirder to me, is she's killing off the neighboring kings because the metal men are like, what are you doing in the land of Maxwell Lord or whatever. I know Maxwell Lord is the leader of the metal men, whatever they call the land of. They don't call it the land of the Lord. That would be, that probably wouldn't go over very well. But she's like, it won't be his land for much longer.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it seems like she's positioning to where they're taking over everything.
Well, not only that, but like, she's going to pick up the one thing that could hurt her. So she, you know.
Mm-hmm. So she knows.
Yeah.
Even though the rest of them don't know.
Right. And she couldn't hold it if it really hurt her. So.
Yeah.
The strange thing is that she leaves part of it there.
Yeah. Game of Thrones, baby. When you play the Game of the Thrones, everybody loses. I've never seen that show before.
You never seen Game of Thrones?
I'm kidding. I love
Me neither.
I thought it was interesting that even though Wonder Woman is in love with Supergirl, the Queen is like, no, we're going to stand with Black Lightning. And I know these aren't their names in this book, but
yeah,
she's going to stand with Black Lightning. I thought that was cool, man.
Yeah, there's some interesting things going on here. Definitely, like you said, definitely Game of Thrones. Like, they bring it up later. I don't mean to spoil later issues, but it just reminds me, if I don't say it now, I'll forget. But the later is like, well, they only stand with that the Kingdom of Storms as long as she's alive, you know.
Yeah That's the Amanda Waller being an asshole thing.
Yeah
And so the king sets it up. He sets this whole thing up. He's good to go. He's allying. He's getting ready for war. This was out of left field. I usually think that I got every next page figured out. This one was out of left field, man. Supergirl drops in and freaking destroys them. I was like, what? What is a main character? Spoiler alert, the king dies.
I thought it was kind of funny that he's got this tuning fork on the front of the ship that he can use to amplify his powers, but like it only points in one direction.
Yeah, and like boats can't turn on a fucking dime.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny that she was just happened to be flying exactly where.
Lucky, yeah.
But yeah, man, she just like really messes it up, impales him, and then she's off again.
Yeah, and she says, no more kings. Lex Luthor, man.
Yeah, for sure.
It's gotta be.
I was surprised at how much they revealed with the metal men, the like entrails coming out, headless bodies. I was like, damn.
Yeah. Also, we didn't mention in issue one, Constantine is telling this drunken story. I love the way they did it. They're telling this prophecy in like the narration blocks. And then he's also on the ground just drunkenly saying these things. And it also is going like hand in hand with it. So he's reading off this prophecy that is seemingly coming true.
Mm-hmm.
And then they find Kryptonite and Bruce passes out.
Yeah. Figured out real quick.
And this was the end of the original. It's called Gathering of the Storm is what we were originally going to read. And I was like, oh. I kind of want to read more.
Yeah. So we kept going. That's a semi-satisfying ending for the three, if that's all you were going to get. But at the same time, like, you can't just stop with that.
You can't. If you want some, take it away with issue number four.
Dark Knights of Steel, issue four. The arrival of the Elves by spaceship 19 years earlier was a pivotal moment for the kingdom. And a prophecy was born. But what were those early years like for the Elves, and how did they come to be monarchs of the kingdom? And what catastrophic event triggered everything that was to follow? It was really deep voice.
This one was a flashback issue. I changed the art. So I usually, usually kind of let down when that happens. But yeah, since it was a flashback issue, it's okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I didn't hate it or anything. I definitely liked the other ones better. But yeah, it's kind of funny to see how the Elves were living. Like, they really were just kind of chilling, man.
Yeah, they tried to stay out of it. They didn't want to mess with, you know, what was going on in the kingdom. They were hunting bears and stuff. That was cool.
I like Lex Luthor's bowl cut.
Yeah, Lex Luthor looks terrible. I don't know why. Jor-El delivers these plans about this volcano erupting to Lex Luthor, and he puts a mask on. I'm like, they didn't know what you looked like before.
Yeah, the red Zor-El mask was pretty great. Yeah,
very. Golly, that was funny. Lex Luthor is terrible. He's not so much of a scientist; he's more of like a weirdo that is a manipulator. You know, he's saying that he read the stars and all this stuff, and the volcano's not going to explode.
Some of my favorite parts of these, I love that he calls them out. Like, you got that from the start. You talked to balls of gas.
Yeah.
But some of my favorite parts in this series are pretty much anytime Superman or one of the L family is being attacked and like weapons are just like clinking off of him or breaking or whatever. Like, to me, it's just funny because they're just like, who cares? You know, they're just standing there. Pretty great.
I like that they didn't make either one of them evil. Like, they didn't make the Waynes like secretly evil. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't try to sneak in any court of owls, weird things. They made them good people. Thomas couldn't have kids and devoted most of his time to the kingdom, but they were good people. You know, even the Elves said that they watched them, they listened to them, and they know that they're good people. And the same thing with, you know, Jor-El and Flora?
Yeah.
I like that they made them all good people. That was great. Even though there was this weird moment, you know, where they hooked up. I like the way they explained it.
That is one of the most interesting things, like that they hooked up, because it really, they just kind of like, oh yeah, they got hot and heavy one day.
Yeah. Yeah. She felt a little neglected, and Darrell's like, all right, well, let's do this.
I'll show you the D.
And then, you know, Bruce became such this, you know, love of their life that Thomas just took him in as his own because he couldn't have kids. And then they all became friends again, which I think is, you know, we usually see these stories about like scorned lovers and it becomes this like vindictive thing that maybe doesn't always happen like that in the world. Maybe people are like, this is not that bad of a situation, and they work it out. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's funny.
We get the guy that we can't have a book without him.
Mm-hmm.
Can't have a book without him. I'm so tired of seeing that stupid smile.
Though I will say that I was appreciative that it was kind of an amalgamation thing.
Of three different characters. That was interesting. Because you get the clear Green Lantern ring.
Yeah, which was weird.
Which is based in kryptonite. It's like kryptonite-based magic powers.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because that first issue didn't look like that. So
yeah, curious, it was like a crystal kind of.
Curious how they're going to do that. And it's
get to see who the Green Man is. He's this background character through the first four issues or first three issues, and they say the Green Man, the cruel Joker, a man once known as Luthor. I thought that was cool.
Yeah,
I did.
I thought he was going to be more scarred up though. Because in that one, it shows like flames coming out of his mouth.
Yeah, they made him this crazy, crazy man. I thought it was cool, but he kills, I mean, Thomas Wayne instantly. And then that's when Martha makes that decree about like, yo, you guys rule because everyone loves you guys already. And you can protect Bruce. Like, she says the people won't accept him as the king right now. But if you guys rule, you're so strong and so loved that if you raise Bruce, they will accept it once his time comes, you know, not knowing that they could live forever because they're Kryptonians. But yeah, that was pretty much it. It's all about Alfred telling Bruce the story because he was there the whole time.
Yeah. Alfred's relationship to him is new too, you know, that he's not really a servant. He's kind of a servant to the family, but he was like a knight.
Yeah. It's part of the actual group, which he is, if you think about it. Like, yes, Alfred's a butler, but he's so much more than a butler. You know, man. He's pretty much Bruce's dad.
Right.
A great issue. The art was good, but it was a step down from the rest of the series. So it was kind of took me out of it a little bit. That would be my only complaint, really.
Yeah, definitely.
Anything, any other notes that you can think of in this flashback issue?
No, that's really, I mean, it was good to see that, like you said, that neither one of the families was secretly evil, or that, because I really thought it was going to be a story of like how the elves came down, they were attacked, and they just took over. Like, they just killed the Waynes and like pretended like they didn't just kill the Waynes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, so did I. Because they even said, like, Bruce, your parents were our monarchs and our friends. And so I was even thinking then, like, they just killed them. And Bruce doesn't say anything because he's like, what is he going to say?
Yeah.
Situation.
Yeah, like he's got, what do you call it?
Stockholm Syndrome?
Yes. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Or he was like plotting the whole time on how to get revenge on him because he's Batman and that Batman's always making plans, which would have been fine. But I feel like this is better in my head. And, you know, for me, is like, it's a completely different story with these characters that have similar notes to the main DC Universe counterparts. Dark Knights of Steel, issue number 5. Betrayals and assassinations have brought the world to the brink of war. As the Kingdom of Storms and Themyscira prepare for invasion, the El family is reunited at last to mourn their father. But what secrets does Bruce Wayne have that could prove vital to the future of the land? Villains by his side, and the unthinkable is now in motion. Apocalypse could tear the world apart. Not Apocalypse from the last book we read. Just the end of the world. What are your favorite things about issue number 5? We're back to the main story. I think we're back to the original artist.
Yes. Yeah, we are. Again, it's just it's cool to see these characters in this setting. You know, Poison Ivy in this is really cool.
Oh, she's great, man.
It's, and I love that they have, you know, I don't know, she's stronger than she seemingly ever was. And, you know, her and Wonder Woman kind of get at it, and it's, and Wonder Woman has, I love that, where she like struggles far enough just to get her hand around her neck, but she's like, I can make stickers grow in your eyes or whatever. Basically, it's like, yeah. Damn.
I can command the fungus to rot your brain.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Wonder Woman was like, I can crush your throat right now. She's like, well, you would also be dead. And I love Harley Quinn. She's just like, hey, we get it. Both of you guys are extremely powerful and intimidating, but like, let's just talk. Let's talk it out.
We chill for a second.
And then that's when this seemingly innocent Supergirl finds out that she's been murdering people.
Yeah, right.
All around the world. But then she's like, it seems like she might be playing both sides, because she's, when her and Wonder Woman are talking, she's like, no matter what happens, let's make sure you and I are on the same side. Like, it seems like she's playing the game.
Yeah. Well, and the big, first of all, it's funny that Nightwing is running around and it doesn't seem like he touches the ground. He just hops around a lot.
It's Nightwing, dog.
Yeah. But man, we get that crazy, crazy reveal. And this is what I don't, again, how could he touch it? So I don't think that's not Kal-El. He couldn't touch it and fly.
Without being like influenced at all by it.
But it is seemingly, it is interesting how strong he still is.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, we get the good old regular, get the Kents. Got to have the Kents in here. And I love that switcheroo.
That twist was crazy, though, because he's like, it's Batman is finally telling him, like, hey, man, I didn't want you to look at him differently, but he's my dad, too. And he doesn't even say anything. You just see this face glow because of the green, and he should be like, ugh, like you said. But then he just fucking stabs Batman.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's insane.
And he doesn't really say anything else. He just says, this is our world now, ours to rule. There will be no challengers. So it sounds like it might not even be Lex Luthor. It might be something random like they're the Martians.
Oh, yeah, could be.
Or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. He throws them down and then flies off, because the Martians, you know, like, I was going to say Marvin the Martian. He doesn't matter. But Martian Manhunter, he's just as strong as Superman, has similar powers.
Where's the kaboom? Yeah. That's crazy. But I do love, like I said, I love the switcheroo when the Kents find Bruce. You know,
yeah, it's the same story of them going along the trail and finding baby Clark Kent. But they find a Kryptonian that needs help. And they take him in. So that's what we do.
Right. And I really love how that furthers later, how they talk about other people that they've rescued and stuff. Very cool.
Yeah. Golly. Yeah, he rips that kryptonite out of him, and that's a crazy panel.
Mm-hmm.
I love his bat armor. I think he should wear that all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And the next chapter is the Kents. That's what they called it. And that takes us to issue number 6. Time.
All right. Dark Knights of Steel, issue 6. Kingdoms are divided. Monarchs have fallen. Families have been torn apart. The kingdom of storms, the Amazon, and the eels. I keep reading that as eels. And the elves are on the brink of all-out war. Can Constantine, Lois Lane, and Harley Quinn stop what's coming? Or is the prophecy correct? Do Superman and his family have to die to save the world?
Yeah, it's interesting because you don't really know about, you know, the super family at this point. Like, the parents were great.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with the kids, man?
Yeah. What is up with the kids?
He gets the lasso of truth wrapped around him, so he's not lying. So maybe the other versions, like you said, are just, maybe he is in Themyscira, and then that, maybe those things happen at the same time.
Oh, the thing with the Batman?
Oh, well, he says Batman's missing. I mean, but it also still could happen at the same time. Could just be like a sleight of hand trying to trick us. I don't know. I'm thinking about it too much. What did you like about this issue, my man?
Well, one thing, it's kind of cool to see how the Robins were actually utilized in this. You know, we see Tim Drake in the Kingdom of Storms and gets really just betrayed by Constantine.
Yeah, even though he was doing the betrayal, he still, Constantine's drunk and angry because we found out that he was actually in love with Jefferson. And he knew that Tim Drake was one of the Robins, but he let him stay because he was feeding false information, even though he leaked that there was an assassin headed because he wanted to prevent the war. He said, yeah, I know about the prophecy, but I didn't want a part in it. I thought that was cool.
He didn't want cool him dead.
It was cool to see Tim Drake do his Robin thing. Like, he gets in a little fight. He does his flips and tricks, but that doesn't last long.
His costume is really cool in this too. The Robin costumes are some of my favorites, I think.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, the Kingdom of the Storm, their costumes look really cool too, because they did a really good job at making them look like the Black Lightning suits. I think the character designs throughout this book have been freaking great, man.
Yeah. Etrigan, great. And the flip side on that is really cool. It makes a lot of sense.
You know, and we get another, it's just, I'm interested. I'm so interested in what the reveal is going to be after this. Cause, and I haven't read issue 7. It's came out, but
excuse me.
We get Superman with the court, right? And he's like, Batman's missing. And he's being like a dickhead. He was like, they already made up a lie about my sister. And he's like being aggressive and mean, right? But then when he's talking to Jimmy Olsen, he seems sincere.
Right.
He's like, is there any sign of Batman? He was like, hopefully they'll find him before, which I don't know. It just seemed softer than what he was doing before.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Like I said, Etrigan's cool. You know, I love it. And then the big reveal is that it's not
Jason Blood.
Jason Blood. It's Ra's al Ghul, which that's a crazy twist.
Yeah. Well, what I find really funny about this issue is that, you know, he requests him, and obviously there's some dealing there because he's a demon, you know, and he's got his own league or whatever. But he's like, oh, yeah, I can bring the sun back. No problem. That's easy.
Yeah.
But he can't. He says he can't replace what's not there. So with the dad. What's his name? Jacob? Is that correct?
Jefferson.
Jefferson. With Jefferson, he can't bring him back because he has a hole in his chest. He's like, I can't bring his heart back. So,
yeah, but the sun, his head didn't turn into mashed potatoes and he dropped from the sky.
Well, though, yeah, it's really weird because they bring him back. Is it in this one? They bring him back and they're like, okay, you're back, but like you can't. I think it's in the next issue. I did read 7, but it's like, see, you're back.
I didn't read 7. Will.
Just to spoil that a little bit. It's like, you're back, but you can't be part of the court anymore because everybody thinks you're dead. So it's like, why the hell did you bring him back? He can't even live his life. Y'all suck.
Well, there was another thing that was interesting. They didn't really, we haven't heard about them yet, but Ra's will say he's only going to do it, you know, for a cost. And Constantine's like, what is it going to cost me? And he says, I want the Titans, which Ra's al Ghul and the Titans, they go, you know, they have their back and forth or whatever. Mm-hmm. But we haven't heard about the Titans yet. Who the hell are the Titans?
Yeah. Yeah. That was weird because, and they show up in the next issue and it's pretty cool, but it's like, what? Okay. What?
Where the fuck have they been this whole time? And it's like, hey, I don't even want you. You don't even have to tell me their secrets or anything like that. You just tell me where they're at. And I'll take care of the rest.
Yeah.
I like Ra's al Ghul. I think he's a great villain.
Yeah, he's cool.
But then, yeah, they do just people just stabbing people just to be stabbing people, man.
Yeah.
He goes down to meet the queen, Hippolyta, and she says, that was clever. She's like, no man is supposed to step foot on Themyscira. And he's like, I'm not having step foot on there. He's like floating.
Yeah, he's that dickhead floating in Inch Above.
Yeah, he's Black Adam. And then she just stabs his ass.
Yeah,
that was a hot panel.
Oh man.
And Lois and Clark, man.
Yeah.
Got to interact. I was waiting for it to happen. You can't have Lois Lane in there without interacting with Kyle.
Right, yeah, Dean Cain, you know.
So she's kind of like the person with people out there. Like, she's the one that goes out and finds information too for Themyscira.
Yeah. I like the thing. It's like, well, I came here to stop the war. It's like, man, you're late, dude. And I've always liked that. It's like, anytime, I'm trying to think of the movie, it's like that. It's like, I wouldn't have told you about it if I wouldn't have told you my plan if it wasn't already going, yeah. Man. Like,
yeah. Yeah, you're too late, buddy. It's already started.
Yeah, I like that at this point, he can't do anything about it. They still have him wrapped up. They decided to hold him prisoner because they know that he could liquefy them. So.
And I also like that they make an acknowledgement of, like, he's telling his story. My sister didn't murder the king. My sister didn't do all these things. But they don't give, you know, because a regular person that knows or a person that knows Wonder Woman lore, they know that the last of the truth, it's true then. So now we got to figure out who that Supergirl is. But Lois says, listen, that sounds like the truth, and you may believe it, but that's it. Like, it's because you believe it's true. That's why you're saying it. You don't know. That just means you don't know.
Right.
And I thought it was cool that they acknowledged that, cover their bases.
Yeah. Yeah, because why would he know? He wasn't there.
Yeah. Man, I'm still in it.
Yeah, still this is... Yeah, we had, I mean, like we were saying, we had to read it because it's good, but this is a very unsatisfying ending right now.
Volume one, I would have been disappointed.
Yeah. So, you know, 1 through 3 probably has the better ending if you were going to just read a sampling, but this is definitely, you know, I know we'll get to our rating and everything later, but this is definitely worth picking up and continuing because it's a really dope story. And the way that they're implementing these characters, it's not the same thing that we've read a million times where, like, even though, you know, the main bad guy right now is still just an amalgamation, it's cool to see how these big powers are facing each other as, like, because kingdoms are like that. They're not going to be like, oh, well, we'll just let that be. It's always like a dick measuring contest. So,
yeah, there's rules of, like, how you're supposed to act and interact with other kingdoms, but that kind of holds back. It's like, why doesn't Superman just go through and kill everybody and rule the world?
Yeah, because
they still have this hierarchy of power and the DC of Steel universe. Go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say, that being said, it just made me think. I am disappointed that we haven't seen Shazam or any of that, because this is a perfect universe for all that.
Man, I thought you were gonna say what I was about to say. I am extremely disappointed. In fact, it's a negative remark that I have on this book, that the book is called Dark Knights of Steel, right? And Steel himself is not a character in it at all.
Like, yeah, that would have been cool.
Or anything. I need Shaquille O'Neal to have some justice in the DC universe.
Yeah.
Where the hell definitely. Is Steel at? Like, I wanted to be like, hey, I'm John Henry Irons and these are my Dark Knights. And then it's like, oh, snap, Dark Knights of Steel. He said this never happened.
Yeah.
And again, there's 6 more issues. Maybe he'll pop up.
Can you see yourself on my watch?
Barely. Oh, yeah, I can. I think I love Steel as a character, so that's why I was looking for him the whole time. Like, even not, they got Amanda Waller in there, man.
Yeah, he should have been in there. Well, he's not really I don't know if he's a strategery guy, but it would have been cool if he were in
smart
one of
though.
The,
you know, well, he's a
yeah. It would have been cool if he were in one of the other courts or something. Yeah.
Like with Jefferson, if he was one of his people.
What do you mean?
You know, you gotta keep them all together on the same island. Yeah, the
whole kingdom. Hey, we gave you a kingdom, right? Don't ask for diversity.
Yeah. I'm with you, man. What a refreshing story. And so I read issue number one when it came out, and I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. There was something about it that I was just like, maybe I'll pick this up and trade. We'll see. And, but reading those first three issues together, I was like, damn, this is pretty good, man. What a twist.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And so it's all, like I mentioned, it's only a 12-issue miniseries. It's not going to go on forever. So we're about to get into the back half of it. This is a book that I wouldn't mind revisiting the second half of it once we get to it. You don't get mm-hmm. that a lot.
So. Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah.
What'd you think about the art?
Oh, man. Yasmin knocked it out of the park, man.
Oh, my gosh. They had Dan Mora on some of the covers, which is lame because he's probably my favorite comic book artist right now. Top five, at least. And a lot of times you'll see one of your favorite comic artists on the covers and then the interiors kind of suck, but it wasn't the case. Like the interior, it was different interior art, but man, it was good.
Yeah, she really killed it. And even the one that's different, it's not bad, but it throws you back because you're like, damn, this was like grade A+, and this one is like A.
Yeah, it is really good. I was surprised. I haven't seen a lot of her work, so it does make me want to go and seek it out.
Mm-hmm.
Let's grade this bad boy, man. Well, do you have any complaints about the book? You know, we talked about it a little bit through issues, but I don't think I had many.
No, so. The only complaint I really have, and it's not really a complaint because I complimented it earlier, is, you know, it's always the same. Like, it's Lex Luthor, it's the Joker, you know, it's...
Yeah.
Of course, it's going to be an amalgamation of their two greatest enemies. Doing quotes.
Yeah. I mean, that was a cool way to do it, if you're going to do it.
Yeah. But it's interesting that there's a Green Lantern ring in the mix. You know, it's not a Yellow Lantern. It's like, so I'm curious to see how they're going to explain that.
Yeah, me too. I'm really interested in the second half of this story. Damn, I'll go first. Just because I think I got it. I'm going to go with E5, man. That seems to be my solid score. That's like my, I'm here. I want more of it. That's my only complaint, is that wish it was done so I could read the whole thing.
Right. Yeah, I was like looking around in the app legally for the rest of it because I wanted to finish it. I would say, I mean, similar note, my D5, same thing, pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, to me, this is really, really good. I want two pieces of that toast.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah, I don't have any real notes, man. I think, you know, we talked earlier on, it may have seemed like we were giving notes, but they weren't real notes. It was just like, oh, this would be different. Maybe with the reveal of her killing, I don't think it would have increased the story at all. It's just a different thing, you know, a different take that we would have had.
Yeah, definitely. With that part, it's just, I think, you know, they do that reveal, so you're like, what is happening, you know? Yeah. Rather than the mystery of it. But I'm definitely confused, but that's got me held on. I want to know.
Yes, I am. Hopefully they keep it until like the end.
Yeah. The writing so far has been really great, so I don't think they're going to fumble at the end. So
I agree. Well, that's it, guys. Pick it up. If you haven't read it yet, I know a lot of people have been reading it. People have sung its praises, and this is a book that I haven't picked up in single issues, but I think I might go back and get them. You know, with these popular stories, it's sometimes hard to get them in single issues, but I know a guy. Prints them in his garage.
Yeah.
All right, man. Where can the people find you?
You can go to my Instagram, Simon Toast. I've got a website, Simon Toy Portraits. Nobody goes there. Yeah, I should probably look at the analytics because I haven't messed with the website in a long time. And that's really it, you know. I just try to put out new photos every once in a while. I've been working on practicing, doing all kinds of fun stuff. So
I dig it. And all the rest of our stuff you can find at Wednesday Pool everywhere else, as far as like social media handles, and WednesdayPool.com. We can find our website. We got all kinds of fancy articles and reviews and press releases and things like that, and we're circling the drain. I don't know what we're gonna read next week, but hopefully it's as good as this, honestly.
Yeah, we'll just read the rest of it.
Yeah, all right. All right, guys, we will see you next time.
Laters.